streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call
me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Mr. Eugene Napoleon. He has a very powerful story that he's going to tell us tonight. And he's done many things, from play professional football to have his own record label to being a teacher. But his story goes deeper than that, and we're going to hear his story tonight. But before we bring him on, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Hey, hey, what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show worldwide, the hottest show popping. And once again, we are very honored to have my boy Eugene on the show tonight, and we just going to have some fun, some updates, and he's going to bring it to you all the way live, you know. And we just want to say once again, we want to just give a big shout-out to my man Snoop Dogg Moms, Miss Beverly, for being on the show last week. And the line's been lit up, you know what I mean, of people listening to our interview. So we just want to give a big shout-out to Snoop Dogg Moms and her manager, Mr. Marvin, as well. So appreciate everybody for that. But without further ado, we're going to pass the mic over to my man Eugene, and we're going to get this thing cracking.
How you doing, my brother? How are you?
Hey, good, bro.
Good to be here, man. It's definitely good to be here. Always good to talk to good people, and I really do appreciate you and Lucinda for putting me on. Looking forward to having a great show tonight.
That's what it is, man. So without further ado, man, we want you to formally introduce yourself and, you know, let the viewers know what we're here to talk about, and we're going to make this thing jump.
Sure. My name is Eugene Napoleon. I'm originally from Jersey City, New Jersey, best-selling author of the book Dream Real. I am a special education teacher for 18 years, dealing with emotionally disturbed, behavior disability, BD children at the middle school age level. I did play professional football in the Arena Football League with the Tampa Bay Storm and the Orlando Predators, and I played my college ball at West Virginia University. So my position was a tailback, and I am just blessed to be on this show and blessed to be here. God has blessed my family immensely over the last few years, and we thank God for that, that's for sure.
All right. Now, what was the reason you quit playing football? Did you have an injury?
I did. I had a lower back injury and kind of figured, you know what, it'd be better to retire. And at that point, it was any athlete who's played as long as I have, you want to go out on your own terms. And I don't know too many players, be it basketball, football, baseball, whatever your sport, where going out on because of an injury is something that you like. So, you know, it was at that point for me, I got hurt very early on in my rookie season, actually, and played through the whole season, came back a second year, and decided – to continue to run the record label. So I actually actively retired early, and probably a few, maybe 4 years into retirement, the bug hit me again. And at 33 years of age, Lucinda, I actually came out of retirement to sign a contract with the New York City Hawks in the AFL. And it was at that point in training camp, I injured my lower back again and went through the preseason, and I decided to actively retire at that point. So, you know, that was pretty much it for me. But I kind of felt that God had already blessed me. I was in the limelight all through my collegiate career and had a really successful rookie year in the AFL with Tampa Bay. And then I got traded to Orlando midway through the season. So we wound up playing for the World Championship my rookie year. So I kind of figured how many people really are blessed and get the opportunity to do that.
That's right. That's good. Now, tell us, before we go on to what all you did after football, tell us a little bit about what it was like for you growing up, your family life. Were you involved in the street? And how were you able to kind of stay in school and athletics and all of that?
I actually grew up in the housing projects, Marion Garden Projects, which is located in Jersey City. And like anything else, tough beginnings. You know, my mom and dad separated when I was 4 years of age. My mom was seven children. I'm the youngest of seven. And she wound up burying five of her children. So it's just me and my other brother, Ray, who's left now, and he lives in Springfield, Massachusetts. So coming up in a single-parent household, my mother was my mom and my father, and she was strong. She was a strong Christian woman who did the best she could, again, to raise seven kids. So I think out of all my siblings, it's safe to say that I took the tutelage a little bit, you know, more than the other six, and I thank God for that. I did listen. And we used to call them, when I was coming up in the projects, the old heads. The old heads are older guys who went through trials and tribulations of their own, kind of looked out for me, to be honest with you. You know, they saw my mom struggling, you know, trying to raise, you know, a young child on her own, and I was good at sports. So they kind of looked out for me, and that actually saved me. You know, my mother always being strong and very direct on her instruction. Like, it wasn't enough for somebody to say what they wanted to do. My mother always was the type that you had to have a blueprint when you spoke to her. So when I told her at age seven exactly what I wanted to do, what college I wanted to go to, the different dreams that I had, you know, my mother was, you know, she was the type that would sit down and listen to you. But again, you had to have something tangible to say. You really had to have a blueprint. And I thank God for that, because it allowed me to tell her at 7 years of age exactly what I wanted to do. And she kind of helped me to formulate that blueprint.
Wow. Now, where was your father during all these years?
Interestingly enough, I think like most inner city kids, who, in my case, my dad decided that it was more important to run the streets and do the things that he wanted to do. I honestly think that my mom and dad went in two different directions. My mother, you know, decided to give her life to Christ, and that's what she wanted to do. And my dad didn't want to follow that path. So while my mom was going to church, my father was doing his thing. And it got to a point where, not to be disrespectful to her, into the union that they formed, she decided to say, listen, you know, you go do what you want to do. I'm going to go in this direction. And I think it's better, you know, it's better suited that we separate, because I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to continue to live this way. And that's exactly what happened. He decided to go in his direction, and my mom went in hers. And it was tough, because at that point, at 4 years of age, you kind of, you know, you grow up thinking that the sun rises and sets on your father.
Right.
And I was very close to my father when I was, you know, especially in the early stages of my life. But once my parents separated, things kind of changed for me. My perspective changed a little bit. And, I, you know, I can say that from probably age five through maybe 10, I was very angry. You know, very angry,
right.
You know,
yeah.
That my dad, you know, wasn't there physically. He was there monetarily, but he wasn't there physically.
Hmm. So he helped her out monetarily, but like you said, he was doing his thing in the streets and just
definitely
wasn't there.
Definitely. You know, and I think that's where a lot of these young men, at least from my vantage point, you get to feeling abandoned. That's probably why, from my perspective, money doesn't really mean everything, in, at least in my life, because from that age on, I started to understand that money doesn't buy everything. Money doesn't buy love. Money certainly doesn't buy happiness. You know, money doesn't buy, you know, an individual feeling complete or one that's going to feel well-rounded. And my dad not being there actually taught me a lot. Believe it or not, I learned in his absence what it was to become a man through the experiences of my mom, to be honest with you. Just understanding what it felt and seeing her upset and at times, you know, crying, the fact that she felt that she failed in the relationship. It was something that made me understand once I got married, that's something that my wife would never go through. Once I had a child, that would be something that my child would never feel. And that's exactly what happened when our son was born. You know, I remember holding him in my arms at the hospital and letting him know, you will never feel a feeling of abandonment. Never.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I thank my father for giving me that lesson, very important lesson. You know, I've learned it, you know, again, at a very young age.
So at that young age of, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and you were angry and bitter and mad at your father, what kept you out of the streets and in school and in sports?
You know what, Lucinda, honestly, I think the connection to my mother was so strong, I really did not want her to feel disappointed. I didn't want to disappoint her. She was already disappointed enough in her life. And, you know, my older siblings, again, my brothers didn't do things exactly the right way. They were in and out of trouble themselves. I kind of felt that I owed it to my mom to be the best that I possibly can be. And, again, you know, you're young, you're growing up in the inner city, tough. You know, I come from a very, very tough background, a very tough environment. So, yeah, there were things that I could have gotten into. But I think sitting down and mapping out that blueprint at the age of 7 at that dinner table with my mother and saying that I wanted to go to college, I wanted to go on a scholarship, I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to play pro ball, I wanted to own my own business. Those things, you know, there was no... The blueprint was exactly for that purpose. There was no drugs, had nothing to do with that. Getting involved in gangs or getting involved in negativity in the streets, that didn't coincide with wanting to go to college and wanting to play pro ball and wanting to be successful. So that kind of kept me on the straight and narrow. And again, I think the most important part, to be honest with you, was I didn't want to disappoint my mother. Again, she had been disappointed so many times in her life. And, you know, my brothers, unfortunately, was doing a great job of disappointing her at every turn. And me being the youngest, I took pride in that, and I really did not want to disappoint her.
Well, that's a great accomplishment for you, too. And I'm sure that, you know, that you feel proud of what you did to, you know, on your part to make your mom happy.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely. My mother, you know, God called her home 4 years ago, but I'm going to tell you, that woman, probably the single most important individual in my life and was the strongest individual I have ever met in my life. The things that woman endured was just incredible. And she never, when I tell you, my mother never complained. She never complained. Never heard her. And again, she buried 5 of her children. This woman never complained. If you would ask her how she felt, she would always reply to you, she's good. You know, I'm blessed. It's, you know, everything was always positive and very, very productive.
Now, your 5 siblings that died, did any of them die because of living in the streets, living a street life, or just...
Unfortunately, my oldest brother, he was incarcerated for more than half his life, got involved with drugs, with violence very early on, in and out of the juvenile detention, you know, system very early, and again, spent more than half his life in prison, in and out of prison. So he actually took his own life early, I think he was in his early 50s. And just, you know, life wore him down so much that he took his own life. You know, my other brother, unfortunately, got caught up, same situation, incarcerated, and got out. And dealt with drugs, dibbled with drugs for the better part of his life, and died of lung cancer and cirrhosis of the liver. He was an alcoholic. You know, tough. You know, he died at 45 years of age.
Wow.
You know, my other brother, who was a bishop, passed away of brain cancer. He died a week before his 45th birthday.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And I had my older sister, Liddell, that was my heart. Out of all my siblings, for some reason, I was closest to her. She passed away at 31, aneurysm of the brain, my freshman year in college, which totally threw me for a loop because, again, I was talking to her on the phone on a Friday night, having a great time. Excuse me, a Sunday night, having a great time on the phone with her. And some of my teammates spoke to her, and she was really, really, really lively. So they had a great time. She's telling jokes and everything. The next morning, I get a phone call from my mom, and broke the news to me that my sister had passed, and she had just gotten back that, you know, that prior weekend from the doctors with a clean bill of health. So it was just weird. It's just the weirdest thing. I mean, that Saturday, she had just gotten back from the doctors, clean bill of health. I spoke to her that Sunday. She was dead Monday morning.
Wow, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And then my 9-year-old sister saved my life. She died in a house fire at 9, and I was 4. So, you know, pretty much, I would say my two oldest brothers really, you know, you hate to put it in this sense, you hate to term it this way, they basically rushed their lives with the way they chose to live in those streets. My brother, Freddie, who was a bishop, really, you know, brain cancer, unfortunately, it is what it is. That wasn't, you know, a street thing. My sister, Liddell, wasn't a street thing, and certainly my 9-year-old princess, Jean Esther, who saved my life, definitely wasn't a street thing. So I would say the two older ones, yeah, because they made choices that obviously, you know, took them out of here a little bit earlier. And it was tough because you figure they're your
oldest. Probably your dad had a little more influence on them, and they maybe wanted to be more like your dad, you know, being an older kid.
Definitely. And that's and I was just getting ready to allude to that point, exactly. And that's, to me, looking at it, as I got into high school and as I got into college, was the biggest, I think, fork in the road for me, understanding that you have two older brothers and you're supposed to follow their leads because you would think that they're older and they've already experienced certain things. That's the direction you want to go. And I, you know, the one thing was the path they laid down definitely wasn't the path that I felt was conducive to me and definitely wasn't the path that I wanted to follow.
Right. Now, can you tell us that story about your sisters and you?
Oh, sure. 1970 was the biggest house fire we've ever had at that point in Jersey City. That house fire burnt down 3 homes, and we happened to be the middle house. And, again, I was 4 years old. I was asleep in the back room, and my sister was 9. When the fire started, it started in the basement. Apparently, someone had left the basement door open. And it was a young kid. I don't even think he was 12 years of age. He was just looking for some place to go smoke. And someone let him into our basement downstairs. You know, you have a lot of paper and stuff down there. And the fire started in the basement. Well, that thing went up like lighting a matchbook. It quickly traveled throughout the house. The whole house was engulfed in fire. And my sister had a choice to make, and it was, you know, I think about it to this day. Back then in the 70s, you know, you had the long, real skinny ladders, so they couldn't bring 2 people down at a time. When they came to get her, they actually got to her first. And the interesting thing was she said, no, I got to get my baby brother. He's in the back room. And she knew I would have probably died in that fire. She got me and gave me to the firefighter first and waited her turn. They took me to safety and quickly rushed back up the ladder to get her. But by the time they got there, the ring of the floor was already engulfed in flames. the brave firefighter jumped through the window to grab her in his arms, and before he can get back to the window, to the ladder, they fell 3 stories into the pit of the fire. He died. She died in his arms, actually. They burnt to death.
Wow. This is horrible.
You know, and the thing is, like, when you go through something like that at 4, you know, by the time I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of age, you know, you start to have a better understanding of loss, that sense of loss, a better understanding of dealing with adversity and certain things that hit you in a certain way. You start to have a better feel for the direction that you want to go. And that also helped to keep me on the right track because I kind of felt like I was given a second chance. I kind of felt like God, you know, saved me for a purpose and for a reason. And it was my job to find out what that purpose and what that reason was. So that's one of the reasons to this day I can't, I can't be lazy. I can't be, you know, a person that just doesn't want to do anything productive because I feel like I'm living for two. That's just the way I feel. I've always felt that once I lost my youngest, you know, my young sister, because I felt that she gave me an opportunity to still be here, and that was her choice. So
right.
How could I not honor her, you know, her life, her legacy, even though she only lived to be 9, I owe it to her. So basically, I'm actually living for two. That's the way I look at it.
And that's a brave choice for a 9-year-old, too, that was probably scared to death.
Definitely.
You know, but that sacrifice, wow, that's a heavy story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the heaviest of the story is, you know, there were, back then, maybe 2 pink Cadillacs in the entire Jersey City area, and my father owned one of them. So my dad used to get the Caddy of the year, of that particular year. So, for instance, that was a pink 1970 Caddy. Don't ask me why pink. Who knows? But it's the most interesting thing about that story was the young man who got caught, they'd asked him, you know, why would you pick this particular house? And my father used, well-dressed man, again, pink Caddy, used to always flash a lot of money and used to wear a Stetson hat. My father was well-dressed, always wore a Stetson hat. And this young kid, you know, told the officers that there was a man in a pink Cadillac with a hat who gave him money and basically told him where to go if he wanted to smoke or get high, whatever his vices was at the time, told him where to go. And it just so happened that that location happened to have been our house.
Wow.
Now, we can speculate, and I can think that, okay, maybe that was my father's way of trying to get back at my mom for the separation, and he was upset, and, you know, this was a great opportunity to get back at her. You know, did he know that this young kid was going to set our house on fire? I don't know. But I do know this, which was interesting. I didn't find out about that piece until I was almost in high school. And I can remember, and here's why I say my mother was such a saint of a woman. From what I understand from my older siblings, when they went to court, my mother would not press charges on this young man because I believe he may have been younger than 12. He may have been like 9 or 10 because she said, forgive him. He knows not what he did. He's 9, 10 years old, whatever he was. You know, that's an adult doing what he did. What he did wasn't his own doing. You know what I mean? So whoever put him up to this, that's their doing. I can't fault a 9 or 10-year-old, you know, for doing something so heinous. He just did what he was told. Now, this woman just lost her 9-year-old baby, burnt down 3 homes. A firefighter, a brave firefighter, lost his life in this. And this one, my mother chose not to press charges. You know, when I think back on that now, I tear up just thinking about that because I know I live with that to see how my mother dealt with that for the years after my sister's burial. And it was tough. It was tough. You know, that's the greatest pain any parent can endure when you have to bury a child.
Right, and much less five children, you know.
Oh.
How do you not get depressed? And how, I mean, how did your mother handle it? And how did you handle it, losing so many people so close to you?
I think faith. You know, God is a good God. God doesn't make any mistakes. I believe that. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. And I think that, you know, when you hear the whole saying about, you know, adversity brings out character, it reveals character. I think adversity reveals not only character, but I think it reveals a stronger calling on your own personal faith and your walk and your relationship with God. Whatever you believe in, I happen to believe in God. So I think watching my mother attach herself to church and God the way that she did helped me to understand that there's something that's higher than what's on this earth that you have to believe in. And if you don't, listen, I think anybody in their right mind would have lost their minds going through the things that my mother went through. So for me, it's just faith. You know, I always say that, you know, I always pray the prayer of, you know, you know, God, let your will be done, not mine, but yours. So I had to look at it that for whatever reason, that was his will. And at the end of the day, you know, who am I? Who was my mother to judge whatever the outcome of the reasoning was? No one can judge that.
My
so,
man.
So I had to, that's how we had to view it.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break, Eugene.
Yes,
and we want you to sit back and ride with us tonight, man. And me and my wife, we're going to dedicate this song to you, man. And it's called Life is Just a Story. And that song is by my homeboy, Willie Chapman, a young man who we was raised up together as kids. And we just want to dedicate that track to you. And a shout-out to my boy, Willie.
Appreciate you.
My man.
Every day is a struggle, you know.
Constant struggle, you know.
Constant struggle,
you
get it.
Understand that.
Gotta keep moving,
you
know.
For real.
You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. You're living in this struggle. Every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell.
Everybody first look broke like me. Wish that I could ball like them ballers on the street. Living the everyday landline. Made me take a step back, look at myself and check mine. Now I ain't leaving till I get mine. Trying to keep the distance between that hate and greed. Between Satan and me. And all them problems that it come with, it's more than one need. Me, been the rest of mathematics on them all. Put your hands up, drop your bag when you out them all. Send it back to the block. Big money grip, still hungry for them chips. Don't make me flip. Cardio frame with the diamond chips. I just bought a new whip. Can it paint it? Double dip. Every day's a hustle. I'm trying to get it, trying to bubble. It's my life and my struggle.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle.
It is 18 to 25, yet still I rise. And I'm black and proud. My people say it loud. Walking like I talk and hold your head above the clouds and smile. Never let them see you sweat, I bet. The streets is always watching, catch you slipping, chicken hawking. Zombies out here walking, listening to the music. If you pay attention, I'll show you how to use it. I flip flows on shows like life is so abusive. Adapt and overcome the struggle like how he do it. I prove it. Showing the world I am a king. Sing to the rhythm, my queen. This is your dream. Man in the building, example for all to see. Life can be a bitch, keep stroking it till you ski. Stand on your own, keep fighting and never leave. Foundation is the knowledge I'm kicking, we're gonna bleed.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle. Every day we're going through this hell. You see, just a story that someone has to tell. So try.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the hottest radio show worldwide, the Streets Don't Love You Back show. And we're kicking it tonight with my homeboy Eugene, and he's telling his powerful message as well. And before we get back with Eugene, we're going to go to the caller. And the caller that we're finna put on the air is a young man, Willie, I was telling you about, who just did that track, Life is Just a Story. So, Will, you're in the house, baby?
Yeah, I'm right here, big baby. How's it going?
My man. All right, man. So that's my man, Eugene, as the guest tonight. And any question you would like to ask Eugene?
You know, actually, while he was talking, he kind of asked my questions about, you know, how you deal with certain situations, you know, that keep occurring. And, you know, just, you're just one person trying to, you know, hold on to all these issues that your, you know, your visions is just giving you all this dramatic incidents. And how do you hang on in? And, you know, I think pretty much went through the whole thing of how he had, you know, how he hanged in there. So I guess, you know, I just want to say, you know, shout out to you, you know, keep leading, because a leader always is the strongest. And you know, my condolence to all your losses, but
I appreciate,
you know, your blessings
that.
Your blessings is strong, because we often wonder, what is it that God has for us, excuse me, but we already have it. We just have to learn how to use it. You know, for you to even go through the things you went through and still have strength, knowledge, wisdom, and the know-how and teaching, that's more than what, you know, I mean, money's nothing. You can't take it with you. You can't take no material stuff with you. But if you took all the positive with you, that's more than what anybody could ask for.
I really appreciate that. I mean, and there's strength in words. And first of all, I want to tell you, man, that track is banging.
I appreciate that.
I mean, I spent, you know, 20 years in this entertainment and music business, and I'm gonna tell you something, that's strong right there. And boy, thank you for playing that for me. I really do appreciate that, because once again, you at least for me, over the years, I found strength in the littlest of things that people may not even look at and understand. Well, you know, why would you look at that and feel so blessed and feel so and get strength and draw strength from it? You know, again, it goes back to that word faith, you know, and there's a lot of faith. You have to have faith to walk the walk that I think we all walk. Everybody has a story.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the story is so powerful with me and Willie. Eugene, just want to say this right fast. You know, me and Willie grew up together as youngsters, man, and we was locked down together, you know what I mean, when we was like 14 and 15, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't seen each other. Well, we still haven't saw each other in 34 years, you feel me? And Willie found me on the internet, man. And I was walking, taking my regular walk, working out every morning, and my wife called me on the phone, and she said, it's this guy just emailed us, and he said he know you from back in the day. Y'all was locked up together, this, that, and the other. And she said his last name Chapman, and the first thing I said, Willie. I said, that's all that could be. That's my man from back in the day. And lo and behold, that's who it was. You feel me? So I just want to thank God for that, man. You know what I mean? So that let me know that our friendship as youngsters meant something to him. You know what I mean? At 50 years old, you know what I mean? We still rolling strong, you know? So it was a blessing. Me and him connected, and now he's doing music and doing positive things. So I just want to give a big shout-out to my homie, you know what I mean, from back in the day.
Definitely.
Appreciate that. Appreciate. Thank you. I want to give shout out. Hey, I appreciate all the love that's being shown. You know, I can honestly say, you know, on t-
top of God's love, you know, I didn't, you know, expect to even have this kind of love across the country or across the state, whatever, you know, and it's just brightened up a whole lot of my life. So I want to say I appreciate it too.
Wow.
I thank you.
God has a funny way of moving, don't he?
Hold on before you say it's a funny way, because it's a strong way of moving.
You better believe
when when he moves, you know it. Ain't nothing mysterious about it, because when it happens, you'll know it.
That's right. That's real. And that is
real. Man, I mean, it just tripped me out, Eugene, man. A homeboy who I was grew up together where we was on lockdown together, you know what I mean? And he'd been looking for me, you know what I mean? And we ain't seen each other in 34 years, but when we picked up the phone, it seemed like we picked up from where we left off at, you know what I mean? Locked up in the joint together, you know what I mean? And
wow,
we just picked up from where we lost out, you know what I mean? It's like we had never lost out of touch. So we started kicking about things that people don't even know, you know what I mean? Just me and him knew, you feel me?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But you want to know something, though, Boyd? I'm going to tell you, and it's interesting that you said that, because that is something that relationships, no matter how young they are, no matter how, when you first make a friend, if it's a real friend and that relationship is tangible, it'll stand the test of times. And it sounds like you and Willie, your relationship was exactly that. It didn't matter. You know, I can probably count, honestly, maybe. I have a few that I'm strong with like that, that are like my biological brothers, and a few, you know, that I can pick up the phone right now and I know they will be there for me. But I'm going to tell you, that in itself is truly a blessing. That
yeah.
in itself is truly a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, what made it so remarkable, Eugene, I was talking to Willie just like I would talk, just like I was talking to him when we was kids. You feel what I'm saying? And he was like, boy, you ain't changed a bit. What you all say? I mean, we started talking about stuff. He say, Rob, you still the same, man. You going to tell it like it is, ain't you? I told you that when we was kids. I say, so you know at 50, I'm going to tell you. So you
that's what leaders do, though. You know, they stay, they keep focused. That's what leaders do. And,
wow.
So I appreciate all the men today who step up and be real men. So and that goes without saying. Hey, you got to take care of your seeds. If you make them, take care of them. Quit treating your women and quit calling them names. Quit treating them bad, because the badder you treat them, they're gonna treat the majority of the rest of the world. They're gonna do what you give them, you know, and treat them like women so they can prosper in life. And, you know, a queen to a king, they both got to work together. They, you know, just important as a king. So when you cussing your queen out, you cussing yourself out. You make your household bad, and there's no more castle and no more control, no more kingdom, no more love, no all that, you know. Let's get it back together, because
You know what I told you? A lot of these cats don't know how to play chess, man. You know what I mean? And life is straight up chess. You know what I mean? And if you take that queen and king off the board, it's straight up checkmate. You know what I mean? So these cats playing checkers, man. And I told you when we was young kids, checkers, you can jump all over the board and say, crown me. But in the chess game, you got to, you know what I mean? Me and you can walk away from the chessboard for 2 years and come back. It's still your move. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's the difference between chess and checkers, baby. You know what I mean? You can't be jumping all over the board talking about crown me, because you might get them lumps. How many lumps do you want? You know what I mean? On the crown.
Well, the old saying is when things get a little bit hectic, I always say to someone, my thing is, you know, this is chess, not checkers.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can't play no checkers, baby. You know, the man can jump all over the board, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
strategize, man. Chess, you have to strategize and look at your next move, and, you know.
It just wait. Just wait. You ain't got to jump right away. You wait. You know what I mean?
Be patient.
You know, so many people jump, man, and don't wait. You know what I mean, Eugene? And that's what's the critical part about life, man. Nobody is analyzing the game. And, you know, life is chess itself, man. It's not just the chessboard you play on, you know. Life is a chessboard within itself, you know. And
very
if you
true.
Ain't learning how to play chess, people, I think you need to sit down with some of the masters and understand that's what it is. Because the moves you make is very crucial, you know what I mean? And that's the bottom line.
Very true. Well, listen, life's a choice. I taught Brandon how to play chess when he was 5 years old.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I love chess. Matter of fact, I was playing today at the end of the day with one of my students, and I taught most of my students how to play chess when they were in the sixth grade, and they're pretty good at it. I have to admit, they're pretty good at it.
me and one of my brothers used to play online all the time. You know what I mean? When me and him would play, you know, sometime he wouldn't move for a month. You know what I mean? We come back and we'd be right back at it. That's my little brother Lawrence. So I want to give a shout out to him. Hell of a chess player, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can teach a child at a young age how to just about do anything, man, and they'll come up. How you bring them up. If you're teaching them how to play chess, you're teaching them how to have control in life.
Amen. You know, strategize.
And strategize and make the right moves. So,
right.
You know, not every kid can learn how to play chess or want to learn how to play chess, but
it's
always
a patient game. It's a patient game. And a lot of people's in a rush all the time.
Yeah, and it is a lot of people. Everybody want it right now, but you know, and that's what makes the prices go up. You know, stop buying all that gas and all them cigarettes and all that booze and, you know, slow down a little bit. Pay some attention to real life and find out what more things you can have in life other than just that one thing every day, that everyday one level life. You know, you go it's just like the repeating a song over and over. And not
my
stopping
man.
It.
Now, without further ado, Eugene, we're gonna kick it, and we're gonna ask you to give the people the website where they can go get your books at and buy your books tonight. You know what I mean? So when Eugene gives you the website to go buy his books, viewers, we want you to go where he say go and cop that book tonight.
Boyd, I definitely appreciate you. The biggest thing is if you can online, if you go to Barnes & Noble online, that'll be a great blessing to me because that's a direct exchange. That's the deal that I have with them aside from the stores, the online sales to me because that's global. You know, I have people playing people that are playing in other countries playing professional basketball, and I've had someone buy my book in China. I've had somebody buy my book in Africa. I've had somebody buy my book in Italy. So it's a beautiful thing. And I always say that's the easiest for me, the Barnes & Noble's online, and just put in, you can punch in either Eugene Napoleon, the author's name, which is me, or you can punch in just the title of the book, Dream Real. That'll be the easiest thing for me, and I would greatly appreciate that. And Boyd, thank you for allowing me to plug that on your show.
Come on, man, you know what's happening. You know what I'm saying? This is the Streets of Love You Back, all the way live. You know what I mean? And we give our platform for our viewers to get their message out there. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And you know, we're gonna step the game up a little bit more, and then I'm gonna pass the mic to my queen. And I want you to get into this magnificent, magnificent artist that people have not heard from in a while.
Are you there?
Yep.
Yeah, before you do that, I wanted to, can you just give a little synopsis or a little bit about what your book is about?
Oh, sure. Lucinda, the book is in the stores. It was tabbed the sports book. The truth of the matter is, the book was a tribute to my mom. You know how a woman came to Jersey City from King Street, South Carolina, and once again had to deal with raising seven kids by herself, and just pushed her way to do the best she could again, to raise these kids. So how a young child like myself can come from the projects of Jersey City, go to one of the most prestigious private Catholic high schools in the country, wound up having over 70 scholarship offers to go to any Division I college in the nation, seven high school All-American teams, how all of that is possible from my humble beginnings, but it was all possible from my mother's upbringing and her tutelage. So I wrote the book from that perspective of how a single mom can raise, you know, a woman. Some people say a woman can't raise a man. Well, I beg to differ. So the book was written from that perspective, and also going through the whole chain of it, from sports to being a businessman. When I retired from playing, I worked on Wall Street, got into the music industry by purchasing an independent company, which is Knapp Records, which is it really stands for the first three letters of our last name, Napoleon. Turned that into a very successful independent, you know, label. Negotiated seven distribution deals in my career in the record industry, and then wound up getting into the marketing and promotional side of it with Knapp Sports. So all of that, it's in the book, but it's a blueprint as to how I became successful, and a lot of it started, again, with the tutelage and me listening to my mom. So I kind of put that all in the book and made it to where it's just a blueprint stamp. You know, it's really a blueprint format. You talk to any successful person, very few they'll tell you how much money they have or how successful they are, but very few people will actually give you the blueprint. So for me, that's a big piece in my book. I'm giving you the blueprint. So for all the young kids who come from a background like mine, maybe some worse, you know, maybe some not, but who come from a tough background like mine, in that book, you can find your way. That book is for just about anybody. You know, because it's an inspirational read, really. That's what it is. And it's just dealing with my trials and tribulations along with my mother's, all wrapped up into one book.
Well, I've got to get that book from you because it sure sounds like a good one.
I appreciate it, Lucinda. I really do. It became a Barnes & Noble's bestseller, and it was an Amazon.com bestseller, and it was up for Independent Book of the Year in 2008. Once again, it was a tremendous blessing. It really was.
Wow.
Yeah, man, we loving that, man. You know what I mean? So we want to ask you a little bit too, man. You've been in the music game for a long time, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell the fans what great artists are you dealing with right now, and where she's at right now, and what they are in store for down the stretch with this great artist. You know what I mean? I don't want to say the name. I want to give you the pleasure for coming with it. You feel me, baby?
I appreciate you. Yes. Pamela Long, for those who don't know her full name, Pamela Long, a.k.a. Pam, the lead singer from the group Total, I'm representing, currently managing, business consultant for Pam, and she is, as we speak, she is actually on the Tom Joyner celebrity cruise performing. She'll be on the cruise up through Sunday. Spoke to her a little while ago, and she is so excited. Her album is completed. It'll be out here probably in the next 2 months, God willing. We're working on her tour as we speak, and just trust me, when this Undeniable, that's the name of the album, when that drops, you will hear and see a totally different side of Pamela Long. She's just come full circle, and it's like anything else. Once you get, when you're older, obviously you write from a different perspective, so you're going to hear a much bigger, a much different Pam than what you were used to when she first came out and blazed a trail and sold, you know, Total sold somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 8 million albums over that collectively with other features of other artists as well as their own work. So she's had a very successful run, and now she's just ready to do it on a solo artist tip. And I have to tell you, I listened to the album from front to back, and it is incredible. I can't wait for the world to get this album. It is incredible.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. And another thing I'm going to bring out you know what I mean, that people who don't know, well, everybody remember the best guy on the East Coast, the B.I.G., you know what I mean, the Biggie Small, you heard me? And Pamela Long sung on one of Biggie's greatest hits back in the day. Can you let them know what that track was?
You best to believe it. Hypnotize.
There it is. You heard me? That was one of Biggie's best sellers. You feel me? So Pamela Long done rubbed apples with some of the best of the best. And give them a few more names out there, Eugene.
No doubt. As a matter of fact, it's funny that I want to stay on two things from Pam that's actually kind of interesting that you brought up. That collabo with Biggie, exactly right, was one of his biggest selling records.
Yeah.
And it was also obviously an international smash hit record. But she ran the tables on three or four major smashes. She had a big record with Mace. That was a really, really good record. She had records with The Brat. She had records. A lot of people didn't know Little Kim, Foxy Brown. You know, some of the names of back in the early to mid-90s that were triple platinum selling artists, you know, that Pamela Long was a tribute to writing with, singing with, just smash records. So I'm real proud of her and some of the things that she's accomplished, because a lot of people didn't know that. When we were talking on a radio show a few weeks ago, one of the callers had no idea that Pam had written, you know, the majority of her records. A lot of people didn't know that. For some reason, I guess they felt they just didn't know. They thought that somebody else was writing her joints.
Right. And the bottom line is, Eugene, you know, you remember when we first linked up, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And you told me about Pam, and what was the first thing I told you, man? Can you remember the first thing I told you, B?
We talk so much, but you mean that you were a big fan of hers?
Big fan, and what else?
Trying to think, because we remember now, boy, we chopped it up for about 3-4 hours.
You so did. I told you I still had cassettes of Total.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You did say that first.
When we was bumping cassettes back in the early 80s and the 70s. You said
you still have her cassettes.
Out? Yeah. And when Biggie came out with the Hypnotize Me, sometimes, yeah, boy, hey, man, everybody in the hood, the suburbs, the White House, everybody was playing Hypnotize. You feel me? Yeah, all that. You feel me? I mean, even the White House changed it. Now, they was up there getting their shake on in the White House. Come on, man.
Listen,
you know
that
I mean?
Joint.
But that was a fast hit.
That was one of the hottest records.
I remember Pam doing her thing on that one, man. I remember when she sung the hook on that. And you know, if you know anything about the rap business or the R&B business or any of that, man, and you was back in the day, how can you not remember that? You feel me, Eugene?
Oh, let me tell you. That was one of the biggest, I mean,
man.
They went down the list of records from Trippin' to Kissin' You to What About Us featuring Missy Elliott, the great Missy Elliott. Come on. You know, then Puffy got real smart and came back with Trippin' already was a big record. Then he came back and put Trippin' out again featuring himself.
He flipped it,
which was crazy.
You
know, I mean, of course, No One Else featuring The Brat. Then a remix with No One Else featuring, a lot of people forgot this, Little Kim, The Brat, and Foxy Brown was on that record. Man, that thing went bonkers.
I remember that,
in the stores.
I remember that, man. That's why I said, you know, hey, coming up back the way, man, I mean, when we had the Slick Rick, you know what I mean? When we had the Ron DMC, man, when we had, you know what I mean, Big Daddy Kane, man.
Oh,
when we, you
man.
Know, I can go on and on, B, you know what I mean? LL Cool J. I mean, them was all the flavors, man. If you didn't have them in your deck, you didn't know about the game, man.
Nah,
you know what I mean?
Definitely.
We put all our songs, if we liked a certain song, we'd make a whole cassette with the DJ. I'd go tell the DJ, look, man, hook me up that mixtape on cassette. It wasn't no CD back then. You know what I mean? You gave the DJ $30-$40, and he had you some bangers on that cassette. Because your
exactly.
cassette and your car flipped over to the other side back in the day.
You know what, boy? These young people, these little ones, man, they don't know nothing about that. I'm 47, okay? I'm 47.
Man.
So
yeah,
I come from that era, and they don't understand that. Chuck D from Public Enemy, that's my dude.
Boy, listen, that was my man. Him and, you know what I mean, Flavor Flav, oh, man. Boy, hey, when you hear that, come on, you know what I mean, Elvis was a hero to most.
Come on.
Boy, the whole hood got hype. You feel me? I had them Eugene just on one cassette, just that song by itself, man, about 40 times, man. You
The industry has flipped it and changed so much, but that see those you're talking about classics.
Oh man,
you're
that
talking,
will
see,
never change.
Now a classic. Change. You know what a classic is now? Unfortunately, I'll term a classic. A classic is a radio record. Okay, that only extended, only lived for 4 months. Because right now, that's what a radio record is. The lifespan of a radio record is 4 months.
Right.
If it plays for 4 months, unfortunately, kids turn around today and say, oh, that's a classic.
Hey.
Like 4 months, dude, a classic is something that's been banging for about 20 years.
Hey, Eugene, I'm going to break this one off on you, Eugene. Craig Mack. Flavor in your ear.
Come on, player.
Oh,
definitely.
Craig Mack. You know
music
in the party, everybody dancing all out in the backyard. You know what I mean? The backyard party back in the day, baby.
Definitely.
It seems like music these days, though, is calling for death. They ain't calling to teach nothing but, you know, because when you get in one of them groups, everybody fighting and shooting at each other because you didn't say they want, you know, they calling for death for each other. It ain't getting nobody to dance and feel good about themselves no more.
Oh, man.
You know, a classic is when you listen to that song and you like it 50 years from now.
Yeah.
I can't listen to no rap music today and like it. No, 50, 25 years from now, because it didn't tell me nothing.
No, it's supposed to take you someplace. When you close your eyes, you listen to a great record. It's supposed to take you someplace. I remember Chub Rock. Chub Rock is a real good friend of mine. Matter of fact, my wife is Naya, and her album went gold back in the day. She did a remix joint with Chubb because Chubb Rock was one of her favorite artists, a record called
right.
All Right featuring Chubb Rock. And I remember being in the studio with him. Let me tell you something.
Ooh,
Chubb
hey,
I
was listening to his thing just the other day, man, on the Oldie But Goodie channel here in AZ, man. They still play that, boy.
No doubt.
No
doubt. And you want to know something? One of the most realest cats you're ever going to meet in and out of this industry. He's a real dude.
His song is still playing today.
Wow. Yeah, man.
Did he, Eugene?
Oh, please. That's my dude right there, man. I mean, just a real cool brother. You talk about intellectually inclined, leaving a message everywhere Chubb goes. When he talks to these cats, he really does put it down so where they could understand. This industry, it's bigger. You have to leave something, man. You have to leave something.
Lying, bro. Yeah.
You know,
everybody done heard about the cars and the drugs and the women and the gold chains, man. You ain't leaving nothing saying all that, baby.
Yeah.
It's like you said, that's 4 months.
Hey, they ain't doing
nothing. That's 4 months on
the radio, and it's gone. They ain't doing nothing, man. They so late that's what they stuck on. You know what I'm saying? They so late. They stuck right there, and they don't know how to use that talent that they have. They just don't know that. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Will,
I'm glad.
Go all the way back, man. You remember we used to have them house parties, man, where you had to pay $1 to get in, man. Everybody playing the oldies but goodies back in the day.
Man, the oldies but goodies. And you got
the house party, Eugene, in the hood back then, you know?
And it was a party too. It wasn't all that extra stuff with it. It was a party.
You
can't even go to the club these days because everybody want to get out of. You know, it makes no sense. So, hey, you know, I want to say one thing to everybody. I know this probably ain't got nothing to do with it, but I'm one of the people that's against assault weapons being on the streets in our society. I think that the only people allowed to even have weapons of deadly force is a police officer or our military. I think society needs to switch that around because our young kids, right now, the more guns they build, the less kids we're going to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that note, Will, I'm going to pass the mic over to my beautiful queen. And, we done had a great night tonight. And tell the viewers, Eugene, about where Miss Pamela Long at right now.
Definitely. Pam is on, and it's going to be a successful run. She's with Tom Joyner on his celebrity cruise. The showcase started actually today, and it's going to be through Sunday. So she's going to be on there. She's on there with some really, really good artists, but she's one of the performers on his particular cruise, and it's a blessing. So that's where Pamela Long is right now as we speak. And she's looking forward to putting it down. I think she performs on Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken. Her and Slim from 112, Young Jock, a few of the other artists that are on there. And Snoop Dogg is performing. I believe he's performing right now. I think they said he went on at 12. Him and Bootsy Collins. Man, I would have loved to have been on board to see that.
Can I jump on that?
My man.
I know my man Boosie, you know what I mean? I done met him a few times. Boosie stays in Cincinnati, Ohio. So we want to give much love out to Boosie, you know what I mean? And he's a legendary bass player and legendary funk player, you know what I mean? Being with a lot of the greats, you know what I mean? And my greatest song that I used to always love when they played it, you know what I mean? That One Nation Under a Groove and Flash. You feel me?
You talking about classic. Oh, my goodness.
We were gangbanging with Flashlight came out, remember?
Don't make me have to bring that back on the remix now, Pissing.
Oh, boy. When I thought that right there, man, back in Detroit, man, we used to have jingle boots back in the day, man, and khakis, man. When that came on, the whole hood went crazy. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I'm still looking for a pair of them boots. I miss them boots right there, man. I miss them jingles.
Sure they kept your feet warm. But the only thing about it, though, Will, you know, everybody in the neighborhood heard us coming because we used to keep the buckles unbuckled, you know what I mean? So they jingle all, you know what I mean, the whole hood. Great moments, you know?
Wow.
So any shout-outs, any last words you would like to tell your viewers, Eugene? Because we have had a great time with Eugene. But I wanted to play one more song for Eugene before we depart tonight because he's been just such a great guest tonight, and we've been doing our thing, you know? So we're gonna go with my man OG Suicide, and we'll dedicate this to you and your family too, Eugene. Never give up, and that's something you didn't do, my friend. So one love to you on this right here. We'll be right back with my man Eugene.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all, huh?
What's good?
Can't make no shots.
I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know? Practice makes perfect. You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up. You know, never give up. No matter what it is in life, you can't give up on anything. That's real. You know what I mean? So Just keep your shot going. All y'all, you know. I look forward to coming to the game one day. NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there. Yeah. All right? Okay, loved ones. Y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Don't let it make you a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up on your goals, stay focused on you. Focus your view, succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home, never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get, appreciate what you got. You can always improve, just don't stop. Going for your dream to achieve in your life. Chance like rolling the dice, it won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way. So I live by it, and to this very day, I kept on mashing and I never gave up. Me believing in myself is the way I came up.
Hold you down, you gotta get up, on your chain.
BarnesandNobles.com and put in the title of the book, Dream Real, or put my name in, Eugene Napoleon, in the author's box, and you can purchase it that way. And or you can go to, for those who shop on Amazon.com, same exact premise. You can put in the title of the book, Dream Real, or my name, Eugene Napoleon, and purchase it that way. And once again, I definitely appreciate it. The streets don't love you back. I love the show. And we'll definitely, on this coast, I'm in Jersey, City. So, you know, coming from Jersey City, I'm going to be a caller, somebody that's going to call in probably every week. You're not going to be able to get rid of me now.
Hey, you know, we definitely appreciate that, Eugene, and we appreciate the love and support, man. Ever since, you know, Billin put us together, man, you've been showing a number of love and support, man, whole team's way. And, man, my wife truly appreciate that, bro. And,
big shout out to Billings as well. That's my dude.
Yeah. And, you know, we want to just say, man, once again, you know, let the people know about Miss Pamela Long and let them know what date that Pam is going to be on the show, because you're here, Pam, right here on the Streets and Love You Back radio show, and we will be spinning our hot joint, and you'll hear first right here on the Streets and Love You Back radio show worldwide.
Definitely. Pam is scheduled to come on the show, I believe, May 1st. And right now, currently, she's on the tour. She's on the Celebrity Cruise Tour with Tom Joyner and a few of the other artists that are doing their things. And her album should be out. It's ready now. It should be out in about maybe 2.5 months. Two to 2.5 months it'll be out, made for a worldwide release. And she'll be on tour. So we will definitely get back to everybody, let you know where she'll be, what locations. I know she's going to London in August. Actually, we're working on something to get her out there in Arizona, correct?
Amen. You already got that correct. You know, so for all you Pam Long fans, you know, we're working on something right now as we're speaking to get Pam here in Arizona, in Phoenix, and she will be performing at a venue here, but we want to keep that venue private,
mm-hmm.
and we'll let you more information as we get closer to that situation.
Definitely, and we appreciate it. We definitely do appreciate it. So the streets don't love you, don't love you back. Trust me, Pam will bless you on May 1st. She will be on, I would imagine, for the whole time. With Boyd and Lucinda, so that's going to be great. And you'll hear some of her new music at that time. It'll be actually, it'll be a premiere because nobody's going to have the joints that she's going to bring to the show. She has something a little bit special worked up for you, so I'm not going to spoil the surprise, but you will definitely get it before May 1st.
Hey, you know, we appreciate it, man. You know what I'm saying? And once again, man, it's just been a pleasure of having this great platform that me and my wife started, you know what I mean, for people that's going through things, for artists, for people to get their message out, for people that just want to be community activists to get their message out. So we just proud to have had this show for the last 4 years, and God has blessed us as well to give back to others, you know. And we just want to say, if you have not became a member of our website yet, we ask you to go become a member at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, and that's thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And if you have not received my book yet, please go log on to our website again, and you can get a copy of The Streets Don't Love You Back and a copy of my other book. It's entitled Never Hit a Woman, and both books will be signed and autographed personally by me and sent out to you. Me and my wife have our own online store where we sell our clothes, The Streets Don't Love You Back clothes, and everything you need from The Streets Don't Love You Back. So we thanking you for tuning in every Wednesday night, and we thanking my man Eugene Napoleon for coming on, putting the fire down tonight, baby, you know what I mean? And we thanking my homeboy Willie for weighing in tonight. And Pam, we just want to send much love to you out there on the Tom Joyner crew. Do your thing, girl, and we can't wait to have you here May 1st so you can put them bangers out here and for we can do our thing. And then I'm going to have a surprise for you, because other people didn't know about you on them hooks with Biggie and all them, but I know your history, girl. You know what I mean? I still got some success. You feel me? So we're going to have a great time that night. You know what I mean? Yes, indeed.
And always bring them back on the remix.
You feel me?
That's what it is. That's
yeah,
what
you
it
can
is.
Bring it back too.
Hey, Eugene, I truly wish I had that box here, man, with all my cassettes in there, man. They're in Ohio, man. But I'm going to try to get that box out here, man, because I got them tapes in my box down there. You hear me?
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you have to go take care of that.
just by looking at them, man, I mean, it's going to bring back memories. And then I open that up and tell all them songs in there. You feel me? She ain't going to do nothing but bust out laughing. Like,
I'm telling you.
Really? Like, yeah, really.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, she has a great sense of humor. She will, too.
Back in the day.
Yeah. She has a great sense of humor, so she definitely will laugh, trust me.
Yeah, and that's what we like, man. So we just want to say, man, we appreciate you coming on tonight, and we got much love for you and your camp, man, and we just appreciate the lockdown, man, to continue not only helping self but helping others and giving back to others. And, you know, I also want you to just say one thing before we leave to you, Gene,
sure.
About your magnificent work that you do with the behavior children. I want you to give them a shout-out.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm a special education teacher for the last 18 years. I teach self-contained 6th, 7th, 8th grade at the middle school level, Linden, New Jersey. It's a great district to teach in, and I feel blessed and privileged to be a teacher there. And that's what I do all day long. I work with the mostly disturbed behavior disability, children, and we have a good time. We have a good time. You know, some days are better than others, but at the end of the day, somebody got to do it, and I feel blessed and privileged to be the one to do it. So multiple-time Teacher of the Year in that district and also in Jersey City. So God has really fulfilled my life and blessed me to have the sustaining power to stay for 18 years. So
you got what I wanted to hear, baby. You know what I mean?
You got a trophy for me, bro.
Yeah. Before we close out, I just want to give a big shout-out to your son and a big shout-out to your wife and family, and, you know, me and my wife sending love that way as well, you know what I mean? So big ups, and do what you do. Keep doing your good work, and we're going to go out with a song, and the song we're going to go out with tonight is from my little homeboy, little Maserati Rick out of Detroit, Michigan, my little homie, and we're going to go out, and we're going to dedicate this song to you as well, Eugene, and your wife. This song is for you and your wife. You feel me?
I hope
the queen is listening, so we finna give you brown sugar.
All right. Thank you.
My man.
Have a dream, show some love, and take a ride down memory lane. Just me and her, listening to music that I love. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love, you can be my brown sugar. Hey, love. Before I had money, cell phone, or a pager. Just me and my girl listening to hip hop. Mama used to say it reminded her of bebop. But dancing to Michael, see the music is a cycle. Remembering good times, Soul Train is really a good thing. I'm feeling too good, nah. I might just need a drink, might just reminisce. I know that she's feeling this. She listening to Mary J. Baby girl looking good and she came my way. Let's play some OJs. Let's unwind, slow it down, two step. Now nah, clap with me one time. She feeling good too, like it's summertime. Girl, I get around in my hometown. You can come too. I love you like soul food for the love that we had.
Have a dream, show some love.
She sipping her wine slow. I put on some pendergrass and light up a candle. She feeling that heat wave. We dance the night away. Shout out to the DJ for playing the right one. He put on another song. It sound like Marvin Gaye or maybe some Isleys. No matter where we be, she be right beside me. We go good together like sugar, honey, and tea. Loving memory lane. I play her another song. Now she feeling candy rain in the soul for real. Telling her how I feel. Now she wanna take a trip with me around the world. Feeling like I'm in love. And I hope that you feel what I feel, so I know that it's real. So I know that it's real.
Now that's
love.
Hey, love.
memory lane, thinking the summer days, telling me how she feels. Listen to Lauryn Hill, beautiful how she sings. I put on some Meryl Green, getting her in the mood, not rushing into a thing. I'm feeling like Rick James, we high up Mary Jane. She the girl in my dreams, she my earth, wind and fire. Whenever we be together, no arguing with each other. Music keep us together, getting us through the weather. Feeling the summer breeze, call you my summer girl. Like Jodeci, I'm a fiend, travel around the world. Ribbon up in the sky, writing it on the wall. I put on some MJ, she my pretty young thing. We remember the time, so we had to escape down memory lane. All alone, just me and my girl with a song. That's the life that I love, come on.
Have a dream, show some love.
Gentlemen, and that was my little homeboy, little Rick, baby, and he came with the brown sugar, and we dedicated that to my boy Eugene and his queen over there, you feel me? So we couldn't go out tonight without that dedication, you know? And here go my missus and my queen, and she got her last announcements for tonight, and we just want to say thank you again, Eugene, for allowing us to have you on the show tonight, my friend.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you all so much for coming on and sharing your story. It's very, very touching, very personal. And we're just hoping that by you sharing your story that you touched someone tonight. And, you know, we thank you for your testimony and for coming on and sharing that.
Well, Lucinda, thank you. You and Boyd for having me on the show. I greatly appreciate the platform.
You're welcome. So we just want to thank everybody for listening. We thank everyone for your support. And just remember that we're live every Wednesday night. And you can go back and archive any of our shows 24/7. And we just like to remind you that Streets Don't Love You Back. Have a great week, and we'll meet you back here next Wednesday. Thank you.
God's will.
Good night.